If you happen to be joining us for the first time today, or just now joining us within this season of Lent, we're using the season of Lent to reflect on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, found in the Gospel of Matthew. We named last week that Jesus, with his sermon, sets up an alternative wisdom, alternative to the wisdom of the world, a way of seeing, a way of being in the world because of God. I shared the words of Richard Rohr, where he says Jesus was truly dangerous. He was creating a following with the kind of thinking that was calling into question family, possessions, status, sacrificial religion, critiquing and reordering the values of his culture from the bottom up, betraying the prevailing institutions of family, religion, power, and resource control by his loyalty to another vision, which he calls the reign of God. Last week, we read a chunk of that. Today, we move forward, and we'll be reading from Matthew 5, 33 through 48. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your words be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your words be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. Reading from Matthew 5, 33 through 48. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go ahead the second. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Richard Rohr said in his quote that what Jesus is giving is this alternative vision, which he calls the reign of God. With his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is announcing the reign of God, a new world order, God's dream for the world. Now, in my Bible, in this section, I have the New Revised Standard Version. Reign of God is translated kingdom of heaven. I think that is what most of us are used to hearing. But unfortunately, I think we have made kingdom of heaven mean something other than what Jesus is announcing when he says reign of God. First, reign of God is not the same as heaven. We aren't talking about some kingdom, some reign, somewhere up there, out there, something that exists in heaven. But God's reign, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, a reality that breaks into this world now when people live the way of Jesus. This is what Jesus is announcing. This is Jesus' hope. But as Rohr says, it's a patient hope. He didn't see it happen in his lifetime. Remember, Rohr says, from the beginning, Jesus proclaimed the reign of God in a world where 98% of people were poor. They were all, except for the Romans, an occupied people. The vast majority of them were enslaved. Religion was highly corrupt. And still, in the midst of all that, Jesus dared to announce the present reign of God. He dared to say, you can live this new reality right now. The word for living that way is faith. Reign of God reminds us that we participate in a much larger mystery. And we, you and me, the church, we are the means of pointing to the reign of God, and we do so by reminding ourselves, if Jesus is Lord, then the other systems of this world do not exercise first and final voice in our decisions. We do so by understanding that if each week in worship we are going to say, thy kingdom come, we also have to be willing to say, my kingdom go. Jesus' invitation is to live a different reality, the reign of God, an invitation to opt out of the systems and structures that work against the vision that God has for God's people. It's an invitation for us to just not play the game. Now, the chunks of scripture we read today, they are all invitations to step out of the system, to not play the game, to exist in a different way. It begins by talking about making oaths, by saying, in effect, don't promise your loyalty to any system. Rather, can we exist in a world with absolute simple truth where our word is good? A new order, Jesus says. Because the world of oaths and swearing and suing, that world is founded on mistrust, on impersonalism, in a lack of relationship. Now that next part, the next part we read, so many of us have heard so many times. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, give them your cloak as well. If someone demands that you carry something 1 mile, you carry it 2 miles. Give to everyone who asks of you. Love your enemies. I could give a sermon that goes through each of these, that shows that context and that Jesus is not talking about letting someone walk all over you, explain how it's a form of resistance in itself. You may have heard that sermon before. But instead, what I will say, and what I think is the heart of this whole section, is what I've already said. This is Jesus' invitation for us to not play the game. To opt out, to step away and exist in a different reality, one that isn't about retaliation or getting even or proving we are stronger or better or putting some on top and some on the bottom, but a way of seeing, a way of being in the world because of who God is. Because if we are only living and being and doing and reacting like everyone else, what more are we doing than anyone else? What difference does Jesus really make? And if we aren't stepping out of the game to exist in a different way, is it because we don't really believe our own story? We don't really believe that the way of Jesus works. Whatever works means. You know, my Sunday school recently, we were talking about the book of Jonah. In the context that Jonah was being sent, just to give you a little brief history on Jonah, Jonah was being sent to give a message of repentance and to be saved to a people who had devastated his homeland and brutally murdered his people. He didn't want to go, not just because he was scared, but he just didn't want to go to those people. To make a short story even shorter, he eventually goes. He shares the message reluctantly. The people repent. God forgives them. And you almost get this they live happily ever after feeling, this message for the Ninevites, except for Jonah. The story ends with Jonah angry, bitter. And we were talking about this in Sunday school. I heard the best line ever to sum up Jonah's response to God. This is why I didn't want to come. God, because I knew I was going to have to sit here and watch you forgive those people. I knew, God, that you were going to ask me to accept a different reality. I knew you were going to ask me to live into that prayer, thy kingdom come, by saying, my kingdom go. On my last trip to Israel, I was on the Palestinian side of the massive wall that is there to separate and compartmentalize all the areas between Palestinians and Israelis. And there's a lot of graffiti on the Palestinian side. And one line caught my attention. It said, the oppressed have become the oppressor. It hit me. Stuck with me. I took a picture of it. Now, first of all that is going on in Israel and the Gaza Strip is complicated and messy, and I am not in any way one who can critique or offer solutions. But that line, the oppressed have become the oppressor. That line's a good take on this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying, be careful. Be aware. Opt out so that you don't become what you protest against. Just don't play the game. Live into a new way. Now, unfortunately, here's where I get stuck. I do fully believe Jesus is inviting us to opt out, to not play the game, to step out of the system, but I'm not sure how that looks. What that means. Does it even mean one thing? Is it the same for everyone? Can we as a church even give practical steps and tips, or is it more of a day-to-day choice, a way of being this day, in today's circumstances? While I was holding all of this week, one of my friends texted me, and she sent me this link to a video of WGME 13 on Your Side. It was a news segment. She had been interviewed. She was attending this forum, this panel, on Maine's homelessness crisis. It was hosted by the University of New England. As I said, she got interviewed, and her comments made the news. She said, we own a business in downtown Portland. We've been there for over 15 years, and we've seen the rise in homelessness over that time. She said, this forum, this panel, well, it gave us some homework to go back and figure out, is there a better way to get involved? Now, some of the panel presenters said, we can decide that we want enough housing and insist that our policies call for it. We can decide that everyone deserves to be indoors and at least sheltered. We can decide that it's not acceptable that the only option is for them to be outside because they don't have available resources. A few more panelists were on the news, and then the segment acknowledged that there's a lot standing in the way of a solution. But that line, we can decide that we want enough housing and insist our policies call for it. That whole we can decide is to me a way of stepping out of the system. a system that says people's circumstances are on their of their own making, or they have to work for it, or they have to deserve it, or that system that says if someone isn't contributing to the economy, they aren't worthy of the same rights and opportunities as others. That system that says we are going to zone our area in such a way that it ensures affordable housing can't be built by me, or families that don't have the same income can't live by me. A system where your zip code impacts your life in a pretty substantial way. Now, there's a lot of different ways we could talk about systems and structures. There's one playing out in our legislature right now that says only those who work, apparently, are worthy of access to adequate health care. But I think the words of that panelist helped me see in a different way how we can choose to not play the game. We decide. And as my friend said, we've got homework to go back and do and figure out, is there a better way for us as the people of God to get involved? Now, obviously, when my friend sent that text, it was kind of like the next 30, 45 minutes was about three of us texting back and forth about all the things. But one thing we finally landed on is something I shared that a clergy friend shared with me. There's a lot of up here things. And sometimes we know all you can do is take the next best step. So for me, it looks like learning all I can about something. First step, learn all you can. And then once you've learned all you can, maybe there's a push of what that next step can be. And maybe it's one thing and you're done and you move on, or maybe you find a bigger way. Rohr, in his Sermon on the Mount book, he says this, our ordinary lives are given extraordinary significance when we accept that our lives are about something much larger. Our pain is a participation in the redemptive suffering of God. Our creativity is the very passion of God for the world. It's enough to know that I have been chosen to be one actor on the stage. I need only play my part as well as I can. It's almost like the fish for people, we don't have to clean them. We live our little story under a great story. We live our story trusting and believing that a new reality breaks into the world when people live the way of Jesus. Remember, Rohr says, from the beginning, Jesus proclaimed the reign of God in a world where 98% of people were poor. They were all, except for the Romans, an occupied people. The vast majority of them were enslaved. Religion was highly corrupt. And still, in the midst of that, he dared to announce the present reign of God. He dared to say, you can live this new reality right now. The word for living that way is faith. May it be so. Amen.